We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
We are continuing with a series that Warren began with us last week. It's called Redefining Ministry. Redefining Ministry. In this series, we want to break down some of the ideas people have about Christian ministry, who can do it, and what it looks like in our church and in our world. We want to redefine ministry. And we think that in particular, this means pushing back on two misplaced ideas. The first is this, it's that ministry is just for people employed by the church. And sometimes when we talk about the ministry or being in the ministry, what we're using it for is another way to talk about people who get paid by church to make it happen. When I talk to people, they would say phrases to me when I was studying at Bible college. They say, oh, you're going to do ministry work, or you're going into the ministry. And even this week, as I was doing this message, I had a look. I've got a little book. It's what I cheat with. It's called Book of Stories and Quotes, and you can search by topic. And so usually I use that to cheat. And so I thought, oh, great, I'll look up ministry. And as I looked up ministry in my little cheat book, it didn't have every single illustration it had about ministry was about someone who was paid or employed to do something for God within a church. That was the traditional view of ministry. But actually, when you look at the early church and when you look at how it all began, the biblical image of ministry was never meant to be that. In fact, this was a later development. Warren talked to me about this during the week. He said he was going to mention this last week, but he said he thought it would bore you all, and so he didn't mention it. But I'm going to mention it, so I'm going to bore you all with this. He said when he researched, he found that the church got off track in two major ways. The first one was that they became involved in politics. That didn't go well for the church. The second one was when they anointed bishops, which in itself was not a bad thing to do. But what they do is they created this impression that the bishops were the people who were anointed to do ministry. But the people were not. But that is not the image that we see in the early church. The regular person felt that they were not set apart to do God's work in any significant way. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." For each one, God pours His Spirit on everyone for ministry. Not just a few special people. Look, I work for the church, and it has its challenges, it has its difficulty, but it's actually a job I really love. I enjoy what I do. It's a rewarding place to be. But just because I work for a church doesn't mean that I'm more anointed for ministry than any other person. We all have an anointing to do ministry. The second misplaced idea is this. Is that ministry is just about what happens at church. First, we think it's just for people employed by the church, and then we think it's just for things that happen at church. And in its most narrow expression, this view sees ministry as expressed through the utilization of gifts in these 2 hours on a Sunday. People go, well, that's ministry. That's what it's about. If you're involved in a Sunday service, you're doing ministry. Fortunately, many people recognize that church is bigger than what happens on a Sunday. Well, it's a very good thing. The church is a whole community of people and their gifts, and they can be used to build each other up. Whether we're gathered as a whole, whether we're connected in smaller groups or dispersed throughout the world. But the ministry God has for us is about more than just what benefits our church. It's about what God wants to do in the world. Paul here in 1 Corinthians 12 acknowledges that the giftings of God's Spirit are given for the common good. Did you see that phrase? Common good. The word for common good in the Greek is actually one word, but that word carries two different aspects to it. It combines these two ideas of together and profit. Common good is about a together profit. In other words, God gives us gifts for what will profit the whole group of believers. And not just here, but also to achieve its mission in the world. So, if church is not just about those who get paid or what happens in the church, then what is ministry? Well, here's my definition. Ministry, as we redefine it, is this: using the gifts God has given you to build up the church and bring God's life to the world. Ministry, for you, for me, is about building up the church and bringing God's life to the world. And that last bit's really important. It means ministry can be what you do with your kids. It can happen with people who visit your home. Ministry can be the work you are involved in, either directly through doing work that profits the world and brings God's kingdom, or indirectly through the way you use God's gifts with the people you have around you. Ministry is the life of God that you share with every person that you meet. Every person. Do you know you can minister God's love to people every day? But you need to know how to do that. It's more than just the general calling God has placed on anyone who follows him. But there is an individual expression of God that can be given for the common good. And that is why we believe that ministry needs to be activated, practiced, and grown in through the church. So it's not just about church. But this morning what we want to talk about is the way in which ministry can be activated, practiced, and grown in through the church. Now, to explore what this looks like, I want to pick up a little bit of a biblical image of God's people and explore it for a bit. It's the image of the church as ambassadors of Christ. Paul uses this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. He says this. He says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors." We're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." And Paul says that we represent God, like an ambassador represents another country. It's our job to bring and carry on this ministry of reconciliation, is what he calls it. Letting people know the goodness of God and drawing them into a life-changing relationship with him. This is the prophet of the church, the together prophet, is to see others know Jesus and to be his disciples, to see creation brought back into line with its creator, to see the systems of death and darkness replaced by God's way of life and light. This is our ministry. So let's have a think about what it means to be an ambassador and what it means for us to find our ministry in church and then give it to the world. The first thing is that we need to represent well the culture that we originate from. So ambassadors, they need to know the country and its culture more than the culture of the country that they live in. Imagine if I was a New Zealander ambassador to a totally foreign culture, like, say, Australia. It's my job to represent the interests of New Zealand in that place and bring the goodness of my culture to that place. But then over time, as happens with New Zealanders who go to Australia, I begin to say words different. I ask for fish and chips instead of fush and chops. I call them thongs instead of jandals. I get a cold drink out of an esky instead of a chili bin. I start to expect my team to lose at rugby but win at cricket. You know, there's just this thing that can happen. I would have done my job a disservice as an ambassador if I become more attached to my Australian home and become disconnected from what it means to be a New Zealander, which I know is much more than those things. And I'm using that as an illustration for the job that we have all been given in the world and the way we can ensure we do that. It's our job to represent Christ, to be his ambassador. This means that we need to ensure that the culture that we are reflecting is the kingdom culture. The way that we live and we believe in the world and behave is supposed to be startlingly different than the way the world behaves. couple of different values our ministry is to display. The first one is that we live in a world that is obsessed with success, whether it be on an Instagram story or whether it be through a certificate that you gain. This world is obsessed with success, but that is not a kingdom value. The call of every Christian instead is to serve others. As Jesus came to serve the world and lay his life down for them, so we're called to do the same. The world's standard is as success happens when you climb over others to make something of yourself, to get to the top of the industry, that everyone might know your name. Now, Christianity has no problem with you succeeding, but an ambassador will do that because they want to serve and give life to other people, not to make something of themselves. Another value is the value of love. Jesus said that the world would know we are his disciples by the way that we love each other. In other words, people should look from the outside of the church and see a supernatural level of compassion, care, and understanding in the church. The world's value in comparison is self-interest. Sticking up for whatever protects me or makes people respect me more. And it's our job to represent the culture in the world. And that's part of our ministry. I've been thinking a lot about a parable Jesus told, which I think is just absolutely brilliant. It's one verse only, Matthew 13, verse 33. It says, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Think about that for a minute. It's profound. Jesus is saying that if we bring kingdom values to our world, we bring life to the world in the same way that that small amount of yeast will affect all parts of the bread and cause it to rise and cook well. We can affect all parts of our society by bringing kingdom values to our world. As we reflect the culture of heaven, we bring that and it changes everything around us. That's the calling of what God has given to us. That is ministry. However, it becomes essential then that we remain fresh as yeast. I don't know if you've ever tried cooking with yeast that is past its best before date, but the bread just doesn't rise. It might as well be flour. And for us, we need to stay fresh. And the problem is some people think, well, I can have God's values just by reading the Bible and praying, by my own individual faith. And reading the Bible and praying is good and helpful, and it's essential. But it needs to be paired with being engaged in Christian community. That's what Jesus wanted for us. That's what we're encouraged to do over and over again. That is what will help us when we are engaged with relationship with others. As we are invested and involved in community, we're kept fresh. We're able to be that yeast with others around us. Ministry starts here. It starts by being involved in this community. Imagine if, and you've probably seen this happen, imagine coming back to New Zealand after a few years in Australia and it's seeming like you're a foreigner. I don't know if you've had family members who've lived in Australia and come back and you think, wow, you've actually kind of turned into an Australian. Your language has changed and actually some of the way you see the world is a little bit different. We need to make sure that we are connecting with our home culture, and the best place to do that should be the church. The danger is that we become so attached to this world that we lose touch with our own culture. In the same way, we need to come into church and recognize that through accountability and through community that we can be ambassadors for Jesus. And there's a challenge here for all of us, and it's that we spend time engaged in church with this community. We need to make sure that we work to ensure that this place truly reflects the values and the culture of heaven through our love, our generosity, our outward focus, our desire to see people come to know God. So we are ambassadors through the values that we have. But there's also something else that we carry. The values are good and they provide the foundation. But then what we can add to it is the gifts of God's Spirit. These two we practice first in the church, that we might use them to bring glory to God, to reveal His kingdom to others, and to reconcile people to God. So our second thing is that we need to be involved in gift-specific ministry, and it starts here in the church. Just as some cultures will have a certain style of dance, or cooking, or technology they might bring to another culture, so we have kingdom gifts that we use to represent God and bring His way of life to the world as we do ministry. Now, we're going to spend a lot more time in coming weeks looking at how God may have gifted you for ministry. But there are a few things we need to come to terms with first about these gifts. The first is that the Bible doesn't include an exhaustive list of gifts. The lists that are included are in multiple locations, primarily Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And the interesting thing is that those lists are never the same. So Paul, as he's talking about gifts, he mentions some in one instance, and then a slightly different list somewhere else, and a slightly different list somewhere else. It's clear that this list is not just one set list. That means that there are things that you are doing for God's kingdom. There are gifts that God has given you by His Spirit that may not appear on those gifts and those passages. I once read a book on spiritual gifts, and the author listed the ones he could find in Scripture. And he came up with a list of 27. He said that everyone has at least three of the gifts on the list. And so as a joke, I used to go around and say and tell people, I say, look, I figured out what my spiritual gifts are. I've looked at this list and I've picked the three which I think God must have given me. He's given me celibacy, optional poverty, and probably martyrdom too. I think that's just the way God has gifted me. My self-esteem was a bit low. And actually, there's nothing wrong with any of those gifts. In fact, some of them are really good things, as much as we might not want martyrdom. They can be something to glorify God. But the point is, the lists are not exhaustive. There are gifts that God may use in our lives to do the ministry He's given us that are not on any of those lists. The second is that spiritual gifts are something that we grow into. Spiritual gifts are not something that you get a one-time gifting in and then suddenly you have it all. Some people imagine it a little bit like the movie The Matrix. Has anyone seen The Matrix? Bit of an old action movie now. In The Matrix, people are plugged into a computer program, and so they can learn anything really fast. They can have it uploaded to them in a very short amount of time. So there's a great scene where Neo turns to Trinity and says to her, can you fly that helicopter? And she looks at him and she says, not yet. And then she says, operator, give me a program for that helicopter, could you? And then instantly, it gets uploaded into her brain, and suddenly she can fly a helicopter. It's amazing. I love it if spiritual gifts happen like that. But that's not how spiritual gifts work. Spiritual gifts are activated by God's Spirit. They're given to us by His Spirit. But they are something that we need to learn to mature and to grow into. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16, talks about some of these gifts and a little bit of this process. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility, this is really important, is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then, he says, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How many times does Paul say it's about growing? How many times does he say it's about bringing maturity? And that maturity is both in who we are as people, but there is a growing that happens through our gifts. And so we look to see what gifts God has given us by his Spirit. But sometimes we miss them, and we miss them because we're expecting to suddenly have this supernatural talent and ability that we didn't have before. I remember hearing of someone who was so filled with God's Spirit one time that they were able to play the trumpet perfectly. There was a trumpet lying around at a meeting, and they were filled with God's Spirit, and they were able to belt out holy trumpet tunes, which I think is amazing, but later they couldn't even play a note. And sometimes we look at spiritual gifts and we go, well, when God gives me a gift, I'm just going to suddenly become supernaturally good at something. But that's not how it works. God activates something by his Spirit. He puts something in our hearts, something in our lives. We begin to see the way that we're using a particular talent or ability is different than before. And so we grow in those things. It's a process. The third thing to note about gifts is that not all gifts are solely for church use. Some are. And Paul is pretty clear that the gift of tongues or heavenly languages is primarily as a use for your personal spirit and for the church. But just as ministry is not just for the church, so the gifts, we can learn them and practice them and be activated them inside the church, but they can be used outside the church. They're for the building up of the body and for doing God's work, which is bringing life to the world. Take, for example, the gift of leadership. Leadership is highly valued in our world and can be practiced in many places. But if that is your gifting and the thing God is going to use you for, then the best place to start in that is the church. The church provides a safe environment to learn what it is, as well as the way to use it that is in line with God's kingdom. Not only that, this is a gift that, as you are empowered by God's Spirit, can be used in the world. What about words of knowledge and wisdom? As we practice these more here, as we go to each other and pray for each other, and we say, oh, God might be saying this to me. God might have this picture. He might have this idea for you. When we're out with in our communities, with our non-Christian friends and family, we might have a sense that God is leading us in a certain direction, or he has a picture or a word for somebody. As we grow in it here, we can use it out there. What about teaching? Teaching about God. Well, you can learn good content here and explain it and have an opportunity to grow in it. And then as you are talking to people and the world and they say, well, what does this mean? You can use it there. Evangelism, as you grow in your passion for God here, you can enthuse others to bring that to the world and then allow that to flow into your conversations with others. We could go on and on. Creative gifts. Many of the winners of talent shows began in the church. They started using their gifts in the church and then they were able to see them as a way to bless the world. Do you know there are some God-given talents and abilities that are dormant and unrealized because they're not in the church? The church is an outlet for our giftings. It's a way for us to discover our ministry. It starts here, and then it can be used to do God's work in the world. Now, at this point, some of you might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound like spiritual gifts at all. They just sound like natural talents that we grow in. What's the difference? Sometimes there is a stark difference. God empowers people with the very things that they had never thought of before. As they're filled with his Spirit, a passion and ability begins to grow in them, and they step out and they start to use it. But equally, there might seem like there's not much of a difference. There are times when God has built you to do a certain ministry. It's what you're good at. It lines up with your strengths or your Myers-Briggs or your Enneagram or whatever you're into in those ways. Or your natural abilities. And God empowers you to do it in a way that will build His kingdom in the world. And the Spirit provides you with the focus to use it for the work of God. As you are given the gift of the Spirit in an area you may already have a natural talent, it directs you. It points you towards the way you are to use that to build the church and to bring God's kingdom in the world. Church provides the platform for this gifting. You can learn the kingdom way of using it, and you can receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do it. So this, right here, this church, here throughout the week, all our different expressions, is the best place we come to practice and remind ourselves of heavenly values. But it's also the place we practice the giftings of our ministry, the things we do which make a difference in the world as Christ's ambassadors. We represent Him through the way we do things. We also bring Him to the world through the things that we do. Think of it this way. Think of the things you learned at home. You learned family values. There were ways that your family did things. My family, we had a big emphasis on saying please and thank you. And so when we went somewhere, when we kind of represented our family somewhere else, and someone did something, please could you do that, thank you very much. And it was just something that was modeled in our family, and that value carried on to the way that we acted in the world. But there are also skills that you learn from your time at home. You may have learned to fix cars or braid hair or make the best pancakes in the world. That's a family thing. It's a family skill that you have learned. So it is with our ministry. It starts in the church, and then it goes to bring God's message of reconciliation, to bring His kingdom to the whole entire world. So, your ministry is what you do that brings the life of God to the church and to the world. Here's the response. It's first to discover. And we're going to talk about this in coming weeks, but you may already have an inkling. What are those things that God's Spirit has empowered me for? What does my ministry look like? In my work? In my home? In my world? What does ministry look like for me? How can I then begin to practice that and grow in that in the context of church?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.